Why I wanted to talk to you was about the demonstrations, of course, and I wanted to get your opinion about how big a role trolls played in what we saw in Melbourne over the last week.
I think that they had a little bit to do with it. I think that the original thing that happened was probably quite genuine, at least in terms of the idea that there are people in the construction industry that have these views. And so there were people out the front of the CFMEU who were in the construction industry. They might not necessarily have been in the union, but they were there for that reason. But what we saw on Monday was that after those people were initially there, the call out went out in these Telegram groups for the different anti-vaxxer organizations to get down there. And then you saw those people showing up throughout the day. And so I think that, yeah, the proportion of people who at least work in the industry to people who were there for their own reasons sort of shifted throughout the course of Monday. And then, of course, on Monday afternoon, you saw the call out going out on the anti-vax groups. Everyone came down Tuesday morning. And so I think Tuesday morning, you saw a lot more of those trolls there. People who have their own agenda, who I think that if you were to go back and probably look at their politics, you'd say these are not people that are normally on the side of a union. They're not actually normally people who are on the side of, freedom, the sort of freedoms that they purport to be in favor of. So yeah, there was definitely more of that element on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, like, I don't know if you've been to many union rallies, but they don't often end up at the Shrine of Remembrance.
No, no, that was pretty weird. And the other thing that I found really interesting looking at it on the first day was things like across the road from the union office, the CFMEU's office, was a electronic sign. I don't know if anybody actually noticed it, but it was on the back of a truck, and it had things on it that said things like "We built this city" and stuff like that. But they're not inexpensive. And so there was intent involved. That's what I was interested in.
Yeah, I think that there's a bit of money involved here because there's this sort of existing anti-vax apparatus that predates the pandemic. These groups that are trying to, they don't want their kids, they have all of these conspiracy theories and ideas about vaccinations, and they didn't want things like primary school teachers and nurses already having to get vaccinated because they have their own ideas about that. Now that they've seen the pandemic as this opportunity to recruit because there's more of an opportunity to push this idea now that everyone's talking about getting vaccinated, they definitely have mobilized and they're crowdfunding. Like I think the money is coming from people. I don't know if it's necessarily an AstroTurf operation, but there are some deep pockets that are sort of financing some of this stuff. And yeah, it's not exactly grassroots.
And so the other thing is that there will be people who do hold these views. However, and they've always held these views, right? So, for example, they may even homeschool their children and things of that nature, because in Victoria, you can't send your child to school unless they've got a vaccination record. So quite clearly, they must have already had views of taken action, people who actually hold these views.
Yeah, so that's out there. And if you want to separate yourself from society and hold those views, that's fine. But I think the
I suppose
catch.
what I'm getting at is the opportunistic nature of creating a recruiting basis on something that people who aren't necessarily anti-vaxxers, but who have actually other intent.
Yeah, so there are people out there, and we've seen them over the course of the pandemic working on these groups. So they see these groups that are sort of open to conspiracy theories, and they're sort of, I would say, naive about political entryism. And they see that as an opportunity. So I'm talking about far-right groups now. They see that as a potential recruiting ground, because it's not a huge leap to say to these people who are saying, I think there are shadowy forces at work, and that's why things are going the way they're going, rather than saying, well, that's capitalism, you're watching late capitalism at play, you can say to them, well, that's the Jews doing that. And they're very open to that sort of messaging, because they already think that this there's this shadowy cabal working at things. And so it's they see them as an easy recruiting ground, and they're probably not wrong there.
But they themselves could be considered to be the shadowy cabal.
Well, yes, there is that. Like, they are literally conspiring. Like, they are not sort of organically coming together and doing this. They've seen an opportunity, and they're manipulating them. And so it is sort of funny to see, funny in a very dark way, to see people saying, yeah, I'm not going to be manipulated by the mainstream media. I'm not going to be manipulated by the scientists, but I guess I'm happy to be manipulated by these neo-Nazis who are sort of working me to bring me around to these far-right point of views.
Yeah, there was some discussion about there being some sort of coordinating elements coming from places like Germany or America. Is that credible?
So there are, with some of these things that we've seen where there are worldwide rallies being called, and the ones that we're seeing here are sort of part of that, those are coming out of groups in places like Germany and America. But it's sort of a thing where there's a group in Germany, and they're calling a worldwide rally, and some posters are made up for Melbourne and people are going out. But it's not like, I don't think there's necessarily people pulling the strings in Germany at talking directly to people in Melbourne and saying, go out and do this. It's a little bit more organic than that.
Yeah, yeah. But I also noticed that they've got quite well-made signage, and it's related to so someone was telling me that someone, a nice young man in a suit, was actually being interviewed by the ABC, who was saying that, you know, we have genuine concerns, that type of thing. So that, to me, says that there's actually quite a quiet intelligence behind this.
Yeah, I think that it's sort of tricky, because quite a lot of it is disorganized, and it's less about organizers and more about influencers who are going out and spreading the message, come down to this thing, but they're not necessarily organizing anything. So they're not organizing marshals or first aid or anything like that. They just sort of say, it's happening, let's all show up. But on the other hand, you do have these groups like Reignite Democracy Australia, who have connections to the Liberal Party and have connections to people who have an interest in the state opening up and letting it rip. So I think that it's sort of tricky, because on the one hand, it's all very disorganized, but there are probably some people who have an interest in us opening up who are pushing some things in a certain direction.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, because there was a person who is a MP from the Victorian Parliament who went down there and encouraged them on the first day.
Yeah, I think David Limbrick from the Liberal Democrats. Yeah, they've definitely, some politicians are looking at this and seeing it as an opportunity to, I guess, as a point of difference. If I feel it's political suicide to come out and say you're in favour of these things, but I think that some groups like that, and like Craig Kelly, for example, see it as an opportunity to differentiate themselves from the major parties.
The other thing is that someone was saying to me something, they're saying, oh, what's the point of doing this? You know, what are they doing? And I found it really fascinating, because I've been to a lot of union rallies, and I've been to a lot of other types of rallies as well, and they've been well organised and consistent in a sense. But what was most interesting about this was that they ranged right around the landscape, and they went to, of all places, they went to the Westgate Bridge. I don't know why they went there, except that it was an arterial road. And it appears that they were actually trying to create chaos.
Yeah, I don't know if they set out to create chaos. I think they might be, to a certain extent, just agents of chaos.
Ah, okay.
Where, like, when they went on the Westgate, if you watch the throughout the day, they were just going all over the city, and it seemed to be aimless, and I think it was aimless. And it's just when certain members of the group who were saying, let's go this way, sort of got the sway of the group, then they went that way. And then other people would say, let's go this way, and they would go that way. And so I think it was sort of a little bit up to chance that they ended up on the Westgate. It was just where the mob wanted to go with.
Okay. Because there was a lot of alcohol.
Yes. I guess on the other hand, I have seen them, the idea of blocking the Westgate sort of had some purchase with them already, that every now and then they'd say, we should all just park our cars on the Westgate. And so I think they understand the idea of, you know, if we shut things down, then we'll get people's attention. But I think there was quite a big dollop of chaos in the recipe on Tuesday.
Yeah. The other thing that's interesting is the connection, the quite effective use, whatever the purpose, of electronic systems. So using Signal, the business about the high-vis vest wearing costume, and also live streaming.
Definitely the live streams drive these protests. There were a lot of people on the live streams over the past few days saying to the live streamers, you know, I saw you yesterday and that's why I'm here today. So I think that definitely does drive it. Their Telegram groups are very active, and they've seen a huge amount of growth over the past few days. On the other hand, the Telegram groups are sort of open to a bit of jamming, I suppose, where over the past day or so, they've been getting spammed quite hard by technological things. It's filled it up so much that they find it difficult to use it to coordinate.
Ah, right. So they themselves are being undermined.
Yes. So that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, also, I mean, I think the whole event, these events have actually exhausted the Victorian Melbourne population. Most people I have spoken to have felt exhausted by it all. and then when the earthquake happened, which was, you know, minor, but actually a little bit like, you know, the four
horsemen of the apocalypse
coming. It was all pretty weird.
I did feel a bit like that. Thankfully, today seems to have been a bit of a fizzer, as was yesterday, on Friday. They didn't really seem to be able to find anyone to protest with.
Well, if everybody got drunk the first day, they were going to be sleeping it off. And then it goes to the big football match, which, of course, then leads people to not, you know, like they've got more important things to do than having protests of this sort, right?
Exactly. The footy's on.
The footy's on. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it is very peculiar. And one of the things that's quite disturbing is the unleashing of the new police equipment. That was pretty strange too.
Oh, it's very disturbing. I saw a video of the Soggies out the other day in full camo. So they weren't exactly blending into the urban landscape. But I'm not sure why an elite counter-terrorism unit needed to be deployed to the streets of Melbourne to deal with just random gronks in the street. Like someone walking up and mouthing off didn't need the best of the best to be taking them down. So it might have been a bit of a all hands on deck, but it struck me as quite odd. And I think the problem is that now that they've got them to use their toys, they're probably going to want to use them on more worthy causes as well.
Because there was so much footage of overhead of the city, the city's actually really big, right? And so with this type of demonstration where they're, well, whatever you want to call it, ranging around the place, because most of them were obviously relatively fit. Most of them were fit young men, really. There were some women, not a lot. But they were walking really fast. And so it made it clear that actually the usual police tactics aren't actually going to work on a group like this.
No, although, I mean, some of the police tactics that they deployed didn't seem to be that sensible. Like when they were walking back from the West Gate and they blocked off the road, and I guess that's the normal sort of police tactic. We'll block the road and no one will be
able to. Well, they walked around them.
They just walked around them. And we saw last Saturday as well when they were in the Barkers Road Gorge and sort of kettled in. Well, it was quite an innovative technique they used of just running through the police. Mm. I think also going back to that idea of them being agents of chaos, because you don't know where they're going to go. They had no destination, so they had no way of saying, all right, we'll block off these streets. They could go down any street. It didn't matter.
No, that's right. And it's sort of like they were being lads.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that there was so much alcohol, it just seems so strange to me that it was planned. You know, it's like an alcohol picnic.
It was a little strange that they had so much booze handy.
Yeah, how did that happen? I was told today that actually the crowd that came to the CFMEU office on that first day, that it took about 4 hours before the police turned up. And that they were allowing these people to come in with slabs of beer.
Yeah, and that struck me as a little odd too, that I feel like if it had been perhaps something besides a union office, they might have been a little quicker to respond to a large crowd sort of gathered around it with hostile intent.
I mean, you know, I don't know. It just seems odd. That was a factual observation given to me about what happened on that day. Yeah, I think I wonder if the and the other thing that was interesting was that on Channel 7 they continually referred back to Matthew Guy for his comments.
Mm. And astute comments they were as well, that if he was premier, he just wouldn't have allowed it to happen.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well,
thanks for the insights, Matt.
Yeah, which also leads one to believe that there's, you know. There are some people who hold certain views. And the thing that's really interesting about this vaccination thing is that nobody's telling people they have to be vaccinated. You just aren't going to get any work.
Mm.
I mean, if you hold that view really strenuously, then you won't get vaccinated, right?
Yeah. So that's fine. There are other career paths out there.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you hold that, it's more important than the other thing, then you have to change your... I mean, it's like any life choice, isn't it?
Mm. And other industries have already been through this. There are industries where, you know, you need to be vaccinated to work in them, and they have got along with it fine.
Yeah. Well, there was one other thing, aspect to this, was that it was clear that the reason why I brought up the trolls at the beginning was that there was a series of fake Twitters that, and the use of union insignia, including the Australian Nursing and Midwifery Federation's insignia, to encourage people to come to this demonstration originally, which is pretty outrageous. The nurses were really ropeable. And there was also the same kind of tactic tried on much earlier, a couple of months ago, not in Melbourne in particular, but with the TWU members, truckies. Mm. They tried to get people together, but, you know, three trucks turned up. And so that was a fizzer. And apparently they've also tried to target healthcare workers. And obviously they're too busy to take that on board.
I think there are these sort of careers that hold a special place in their imagination. So the truckies and the tradies, and I think next it might be the farmers, you know, will rise up with us because these are like the Aussie jobs, and so the Aussies will rise up with us. I think that's how they sort of conceive of these people, even if they don't necessarily know any of them. Yesterday, they were calling on the nurses and the teachers to come out again as well. And it's like, nurses and teachers are not interested in this. They want to be at work without having to worry about catching the coronavirus.
Yeah, that's the key. We're in a pandemic.
But I did like the union slogan going around, don't be a scab, get the jab.
Yeah, I know. It just seems so incredible that they should get such traction, that's all.
I think it is a very sort of noisy minority, so they've worked out how to get attention. I think also probably earlier in the week we saw there were people that had genuine concerns mixed in with people who were just straight anti-vaxxers. So I did hear that there are people who work on site and have been told they need to get the jab by the deadline, and they can't get it because they're, 20 years old and they can only get the Pfizer, that they won't be allowed to get the AstraZeneca, and they can't get an appointment for another 2 or 3 weeks. So they want to get the jab, they're pro-vax, but they just can't get it. And so there were a few people I think that had concerns about that. And people that were, were annoyed about this, the shortening of shifts and things. And then after those people sort of left, then you had the anti-vax crowds was sort of the majority.
Yeah, so there's people with actual concerns. So, for example, it was touched off by the banning of the lunchrooms, but in actual fact, there was no consultation, despite what the government says. They didn't actually sit down and talk to the union about it. And obviously, if they didn't talk to their representative, then they didn't talk to individual workers either. So, and it happened so quickly that, and quite clearly, the government's looking much more carefully at the figures, and they're seeing it from a trends point of view. And there was, so on that level, you can see why they do it. And I must say, I've had a friend of mine who, a person I know, who sits in a very tall building looking down at the several places being built around her, saying to me, they don't wear their masks, and it really bothers her because she's a nurse. And it concerned her. And I did think that, on the other hand, when Sutton said, Brett Sutton said, you wouldn't wear your hard hat on your arm, wearing your mask on your chin just doesn't work. It just doesn't cut it. Which I think that's what people have reacted to. So, in actual fact, it seems like fractious children that have got really, really upset about things that needed a real conversation.
Yeah, the reason that they ended up shutting the industry down for 2 weeks is because they went out and checked compliance and everywhere it was lacking. And we've seen the virus has been ripping through construction sites. Like, that's something that's actually happened, is that it's just been going through them. There's people in hospital because they've caught it on site. So to me, that seems like a very basic workplace health and safety issue. And this whole thing has just sort of been bundled onto the top of it, when we do need to be having that conversation about, when we come back, are we going to be able to stop the virus from ripping through this industry that has been allowed to operate throughout the entire pandemic? But if everyone's off sick, it can't operate anyway, so something needs to be done.
I mean, since sensible heads need to prevail.
And we definitely weren't seeing sensible heads over the start of the week.
And I guess the most troublesome thing is that these right-wing people have got traction, have successfully recruited enough people to actually cause this amount of mayhem, which is the most worrying aspect to it.
And I guess asking the question, what will they do next?
Yeah, I guess so. And also, what will the police do next? Because there is the next thing, of course, which is a button that gets pushed amongst some people, which is this concept of the police state. I mean, having a pandemic requires solidarity approach, but the reliance on compulsion is, it can It just seems like a reasonable behaviour, but for some people, it obviously doesn't seem reasonable, and so therefore, a really heavy-handed approach is employed.
Yeah, although I guess the thing is, I don't really see the messaging going out to these people for them to pick up saying this. We need solidarity. Like that's something that the unions could be doing, is be pushing the message that and we've seen them starting to do it, but probably there was a bit of equivocating earlier on about vaccinations, where some of the leadership might have been saying, all right, obviously we don't want to annoy our membership who might be opposed to them, so we don't want to go too hard on saying that it is good for everyone to be vaccinated. I think that was a bit of a failure of the leadership there.
Thanks for talking to me, Cam.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
No worries.